jerichocommunity.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're in a little mini series here called 3-2-1. And the idea behind 3-2-1, well, there's a couple of reasons, as I mentioned last week. There's a couple of reasons why we're doing this mini series. First of all, in 2 weeks, we're going to start a series called Life-Changing Conversations. And it's one that I'm really excited about. I'm really excited for the opportunity for us to think about how can we engage in life-changing conversations with people around us, especially those who don't yet know who Jesus is or have not responded to the love and the forgiveness that Jesus offers. But also, I think there's going to be a lot of real practical things that we can pull away that will apply to our everyday life in the conversations that we have. So I'm excited for this on a number of different levels. We'll have our connection groups going around that and so forth. It's going to be a great series, and I really hope you'll join us for each week of that because it's going to be great. So there's the plug for that. So real life-changing conversations, that's in a couple of weeks. But before we ever got into that, I felt like there were a few things as a church, as we start off the school year and in the life of our church, that we really wanted to wrap our arms around a little bit. So last week, we talked about three. And I'll recap that for you for just a moment. It starts with this, that Jesus, before he left the earth, he left some instructions to his disciples, his followers, and he said, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." You know, we understand that to be called the Great Commission, it's often referred to. The idea behind calling it the Great Commission is that Jesus was sending his followers to go tell others about him. So if we're a follower of Christ, then that means we are also then sent, right? We're also called to tell others about him. The typical way that that happens involves a couple of things. First of all, it often starts with a dry erase marker. Just kidding. We'll get a few of these out for this diagram. And you have some space in your notes if you want to kind of copy this down. Often starts at the fact that there is somebody who has come to know, come to realize, come to understand that God has poured out his love toward us in Jesus. Right? That we couldn't reach God. We couldn't do enough good things to make ourselves right with God. So he reached down to us. And it starts with someone who kind of understands that and knows that and has come to the place in their life where they put their faith and trust in Christ. That's actually what we're really celebrating today in baptism, is that there are some individuals who have made that step of faith, who have come to the point where they said, you know what, I do believe in Jesus as God. I do believe he was the Son of God, and he is the one and only way to the Father. And through him, I can have forgiveness. Through him, I can be made right with God, and I'm taking that step of faith. I'm putting my faith and trust in him. So it kind of starts with that. But there are others out there who maybe haven't come to that place in their life yet. So we'll just write down others here. I've got too many markers now. I can't hold on to them. Okay, there are others, and our desire is that they, too, would come to know the love of God, that they, too, would become followers of Jesus. That's God's desire for them, right? It's his heart for them. It's why Jesus said to go. So that we desire to see happen, but there's a third part. This is the idea of three. There's that third part, which is this. It's where we are reaching across or reaching out to others to help point them toward Christ. That's that Great Commission. That's what we're called to do. This is how it almost always works in the lives of people who come to be followers of Jesus, that there is somebody who understands God's great love for them and the forgiveness and mercy that comes through Jesus. They reach out to others around them and point them toward Christ. Okay? That's probably how it happened in your life. There was probably someone in your life who helped point you toward Christ. They reached out to you and pointed you towards Christ. That's how it will happen for the people around you that don't know Jesus. That you are going to be the ones who take the message of Christ to them and point them toward Christ. Okay, so this is the idea of three, the diagram that we talked about last week. Okay, now, our desire as a church, and this statement is in your notes, we just tried to put this into words. Our desire is to see an ever-increasing number of people responding to the gospel of Jesus. Why is that? Well, we should never want our impact to level out or plateau, right? It should never be our goal to reach like a few less people than last year, right? So ever-increasing numbers of people. So what we're saying is we want to see more of this third side of the diagram, others who are responding to the gospel and coming to be made right with God. We can't make that happen. We can't do it for them. But what we can do is become better at reaching across or reaching out to others. And so that's why the second part of our desire is that each person at Portico become more actively engaged in both personal and collective outreach efforts. And I know that's a little wordy, but basically it's saying this: we want to get better at reaching out to other people individually, right? In our own individual lives, how we do that, and then also as a community, as a whole. Okay? So, how are we going to do that? That's the idea of three. How are we going to do that? Well, this is normally where you probably get that list of, okay, seven keys to doing better outreach. Or 10 qualities of a good evangelist, or 12 steps to whatever, okay? You normally get that. But we're going to keep it a lot simpler than that, and we're going to talk about two. Okay, we're going to talk about two, and that's the theme for this morning. Because typically, there are probably only one or two major things that will bring about the greatest change in our life. So if we want to get better at something, it's probably just one or two things that are going to make the big difference. Let me give you an example of that. Okay, what are some of the keys to staying physically fit or getting in shape? Well, you could list a bunch of them, right? Watch your fat content. Track your sodium. You know, use your Fitbit. Don't go overboard on carbs. Get more sleep. Find an accountability partner. Cut out the dairy, right? Like, you could list a billion things you can do, but it really comes down to two things: diet and exercise, right? Watch your calorie intake. That's going to help. And stay active. Those two things are going to make the biggest difference. They're two simple things. They're simple. They're not necessarily easy, right? In the same way, I think there's two vital behaviors that I really believe that for us as a church, if we can become more actively engaged in these things, it'll probably make a big difference in our outreach efforts and in the lives of impact that we want to live. So, without further ado, and with all the drum roll, I'm going to share those two things with you today, and we're going to focus in on one of them for a little bit. Okay? So, two vital behaviors, and the first one is this. The first vital behavior is spiritual conversations. Okay? Spiritual conversations. And there's a statement below that that kind of tells our hope and what we're shooting for and what we want to grow in. Okay? For every person at Portico to continually pray for an opportunity to engage in at least one spiritual conversation each week. Okay? For every person at Portico to pray for an opportunity to engage in at least one spiritual conversation each week. Now, just a little preview. We're not talking about the spiritual conversation that you're going to have when you're already at church or when you're in your small group. We're talking about with people outside of that. And we're also, when we talk about praying that we could engage in that conversation, that means we're going to be courageous enough to step into it when the opportunity, you know, arises. So there's a lot to it. But that's the goal, right? Spiritual conversations. That's vital behavior number one. Here's number two. And we're going to focus in a little bit on this morning. Regular invitations. And by regular, I don't necessarily mean normal, although it should be normal. But what we're talking about is on a regular basis. Okay, so for each person to regularly invite others to portico worship gatherings and to invite at least one person or family to each outreach event or community building events. And again, we're going to unpack that a little bit more. Okay, so again, the idea, though, behind it is regular invitation. So it comes down to two things. The two key vital behaviors that we're going to be emphasizing throughout the year is this: engaging in spiritual conversations and extending regular invitations to people. Because I think if we start incorporating these two into our life on a more regular basis, we're going to become more effective at reaching out to others with the hope of Jesus. Now, we're going to spend a good chunk of time talking about what that should probably look like in our life, right? We're not just going to tell you, okay, those are the two things, go and do it. We're going to be exploring that throughout this year. So I'm really excited to go on this journey with you guys. But let's think about invitations for a little bit, all right? The idea of just inviting someone to church and extending an invitation to somebody. A recent study through Lifeway Research found that two-thirds of unchurched Americans, just simply meaning by that, people who are not really connected in any way with the church, two-thirds of them say that a personal invitation from a family member or a friend would either be somewhat effective or very effective in getting them to visit a church. Okay? Two-thirds of the unchurched people in America say an invitation from a friend or a family member would be somewhat or very effective in getting them to visit a church. Personal invitations are still an effective way to get people to come to church. And it's not just about church, but to find a place where maybe they can discover who Jesus is. However, they also found in this study that 7 out of 10, 70% of the unchurched people have never been invited to church their entire life. Their entire life. 70%. And why is that? Because the statistics show that less than 2% of people who are regular churchgoers actually invite someone to church annually. Okay? 2%. So invitations are an effective way of reaching out to unchurched people. But hardly any of them are coming because the ones who are going to church aren't inviting them. That's why we say one of our vital behaviors that we feel like we want to see changed, regular invitations. Now, there's a passage we're going to look at this morning. And I think it explores a little bit about the invitational life. Now, I understand as we read this passage and as we work through it, this is an illustration that Jesus is giving about himself and the message of the kingdom of God that he's taking into the world, bringing into the world and the people around him. But I think it really does apply to us today in regards to our invitational lives. So if you want to turn with me or follow along on the screens, we're going to look at Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. Jesus speaking says, it says, he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to the servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet.'" Now again, when Jesus gave this illustration, it definitely was applying to himself as he took his message to the religious and the religiously inclined and the religious leaders, and then eventually to others. He was the servant who was obeying God the Father and inviting people into the kingdom. But I think it gives us a great picture of what our invitational life should be looking like, or what it could look like for us. There are three things that I hope we'll take away from this parable that Jesus told, this story that Jesus told this morning. And the first thing is this: invite everyone. Invite everyone. There are three different groups of people that are mentioned in this story. The first group the servant went to were those who were expecting the invitation, the obvious ones. And I think in our lives, these people are the ones who are closest to us. It's our family members, our friends, our close coworkers, you know, people we have a good relationship with. It probably wouldn't surprise them to get an invitation to church or to a church event of some kind, because they know you. They know us. They expect an invitation from you. It might even be fairly easy to invite them because of that. So those are the obvious ones. After the obvious people were invited, the servant was then instructed to go out into the side streets and the alleys. Invite the poor, the cripple, the blind, and the lame. In other words, invite those who never really expected to be invited in the first place. And I think the second group that we should be inviting are the inconvenient. You know, those who are a little further out or a little further away and a little riskier to invite. To invite the inconvenient is going to stretch us a bit. But that's the second group that's mentioned here. But even after that, our work still isn't done. We have to go even further to the highways and the hedges. In other words, to the very outskirts where the outcasts and the homeless would find a place to stay. Go to the ones who are so far gone, who are overlooked, who are forgotten about. Invite them to come. And the third group of people are those that, for us, are the hardest to reach. Now, not because they're necessarily more resistant to the gospel, but because they take the most effort on our part. We have to go out of our way to find them, and it's often way outside our comfort zone. And yet the Master says, go to them too. Because he wants his banquet full, so we should be inviting everyone. Everyone. And yet, as I think about that, I think often our idea of everyone is a little too narrow. Everyone should include the obvious, but also the inconvenient and the hardest to reach. Everyone should include the obvious, the inconvenient, and the hardest to reach. If we're only focused on the people closest to us, we'll miss the less obvious opportunities. Sometimes we're so focused on the person in the office or the cubicle next door that we miss the coworker just down the hall that's waiting and hoping for an invitation. We'll do an outreach event from time to time here at Portico, and once in a while, I'll hear someone say something like this: well, I invited everyone I could think of. And I know what they mean. But also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, really? Everyone you could think of? Did you invite the grocery store clerk? Or how about the Starbucks barista? Right? That parent on the swim team that you can't quite remember their name because you only talked to them a few times. Did you invite them? The neighbor three doors down that you've only said hi to twice, even though you've lived near each other for over 6 years. Did you invite them? And again, I know what we mean when we say, I invited everyone I could think of, but we've got to expand our definition often of what everyone means. Everyone includes the obvious, the inconvenient, and the hardest to reach. So that's the first thing, is we need to invite everyone. The second thing that I hope we'll pull away from this parable this morning that Jesus told is, don't quit when we face rejection. Don't quit when you face rejection. In this illustration, Jesus says the obvious ones, they didn't come. He said they all alike began to make excuses. Every one of them refused to come. And he gave a few examples of some of their excuses. One says, I just bought a field and must go see it. Well, who buys a field without having seen it first? So they're just going to want to gaze on their field. It's not a really good excuse. Another one says, I just bought a team of oxen and need to examine them. That'd be like saying, oh, I just got a new car, need to take it out for a test drive. Oh, pretty lame excuse. Then the third one does the worst thing imaginable. He says, I just got married, and my wife says, I can't go. He blames his wife. Bad move, dude. Bad start. They all make excuses why they can't come and rejected the invitation. Now, here's the thing in our life. I think sometimes people will turn us down for reasons that we might think are really just lame excuses. And they might be. It's really disappointing when that happens. But let me ask you, how many times is it that when we're rejected like this, that's where our invitational efforts stop? Right? We quit inviting him. We quit inviting other people too because we just don't like to be rejected. But in this story that Jesus tells, when the first wave of rejection came, the master said, go invite others. Go invite others. In fact, at the end of the story, Jesus says, the master says this, none of those who were invited, who reject the invitation, will taste my banquet. Think about what it's really saying. It's like, look, maybe they're going to change their mind, but I'm not holding a spot open for someone who doesn't want to come, right? I'm not going to hold my breath for that. I'll just invite others because I want my banquet to be full. We can't stop inviting people just because we've been rejected. Don't quit when we face rejection. So that's the second thing I hope we'll pull away from this. The third thing is this, be persistent with people. And I know this is somewhat related, but be persistent with people. The master told the servant about the third group of people. He said, compel them to come. Compel them to come. You know, compel is an aggressive word, isn't it? Right? It implies urgency. It implies force. And quite honestly, that's the exact opposite of how we often approach things. You know, I don't want to be too much of an imposition. I don't want to ruffle the feathers too much. You know, we're very hesitant often. But we need to be persistent with people. I think, sadly, sometimes we think just because someone turned down our invitation one time 3 years ago, that they're still not open to another invitation because nothing has changed in their life. I mean, despite the fact that God has been working to draw them to himself for the last 3 years, because that's who God is and that's what he wants, he's been working in their life. He's been trying to draw them to himself. And somehow we think because we were rejected 3 years ago, we can't ask again. We've got to be a little more persistent than that. We've got to be more persistent than that. Maybe their life circumstances are a lot different now. Maybe their heart is just more open. Right? So ask again. Now, I'm not suggesting we just badger them into coming. That's not a good move. It just turns them off more. But be persistent. Be persistent with inviting. Who knows, maybe this time it will be a yes. Right? Now, we have a youth group that meets on Sunday nights. We're starting up not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. We're very excited about that. It's one of the coolest things. I love what's going on with the students in our student ministry, but there are about 8 junior, middle school, and high school students who are a part of our church that come to the nighttime program. Just about 8, okay? Not a large group of people, but every week we have these young people are calling. No, they're not calling. They don't like to call. They're texting. Honestly, like sometimes we're just like, will you just call them? No, I'm not going to call them. That's weird. Sorry, I thought that was the idea of a phone. But they're texting. You know, they're handing out flyers. They're talking to people at school every week. They quite honestly might go a bit overboard sometimes. And not everybody comes. They still have to deal with rejection. That happens. But they're persistent. And let me tell you this, it pays off. It pays off. 8 students who are part of Portico youth group that come to our church on Sunday mornings, every week we have at least double that coming. Most weeks we have near triple that coming. Okay, so 20, 24, something like that. We got to the end of the school year last year and had a big bonfire out at Lauerman's house, which was a total blast. And we had like 35 kids who were there. Now, that might seem like, well, of course, they invited a bunch of people to come out for just the bonfire. No. Every one of those students who was there had been to the youth group at least once or twice during the year. Okay? So their persistence was paying off. That means these 8 kids are impacting a group 4 times their size. Right? That is so cool. It's so awesome. And quite honestly, I think as adults and as a church, we could probably use a bit more of that. We could probably use a bit more of that. We've got to be persistent in inviting people and reaching out to people. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I am not saying you should all go out and invite everyone you know to come next weekend. Okay? Don't hear that. Like Eric said, I got to invite everybody next week. And here's why I say that's probably not the best move. Next weekend's not going to be the best weekend for that. Right, as you can tell from the message this morning, we're talking about some things about us here at Portico Church that are important for us as a community that we grow in, that we get better at. Some of you who might be visiting here even for the first time are going, boy, this is hard to relate to because I'm not a part of this. And I hope underneath that you just hear the heart of Jesus, which says we need to be inviting people. We need to care about people enough to reach out to them so that they can come to know Jesus. When we invite someone, it should be thoughtful. It should be prayerful. It should be tactful. Right? No badgering. It should be strategic to a certain degree. And so that's why over the next year, we're going to have some opportunities, some Sunday morning topics and series or one-time events that will be really great opportunities to invite people to come. Because this is such a value that we want to encourage in us, we're going to make it a big priority to provide those opportunities on Sunday mornings. We're also going to have some special events like community building events, things like our bowling Sunday morning or our winter games or our outreach with the bread giveaway, things like that where it's a great opportunity to extend the invitation to others. So as a church, we're going to be making a huge effort to do a better job of making those opportunities available for you. Because I know that there are people in your life that you care about, that you want to see come to know Jesus. You want to reach out to them and do it. I know we all do. I know we all do. So we as a church want to get better at how we go about doing that. Now, when those opportunities come, we've got to make it a priority, right? We've got to be there. We've got to invite them. We've got to go for it. So, in regards to invitations this morning, just know this, that we are called to live an invitational life. The fact that God has reached down to us and we've come to know the love of Jesus, that is an amazing thing. We celebrate that. We're grateful for that. We want to keep growing in that. But he also calls us to reach out to others. And we will do that. And our goal is to do that more and more as we get better at that. In the weeks and the months and the year to come.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.